chapter 3. Joram, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 12 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but not as his father and mother had done. He got rid of the sacred stone of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he clung to the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. He did not turn away from them. Now Mesha, king of Moab, raised sheep, and he had to supply the king of Israel with 100,000 lambs and with the wool of 100,000 rams. But after Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So at that time, King Joram set out from Samaria and mobilized all Israel. He also sent this message to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah.
The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?
I will go with you,
he replied.
I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses.
By what route shall we attack?
He asked.
Through the desert of Edom,
he answered. So the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. After a roundabout march of 7 days, the army had no more water for themselves or for the animals with them.
What?
Exclaimed the king of Israel.
Has the Lord called us three kings together only to hand us over to Moab?
But Jehoshaphat asked,
Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord through him?
An officer of the king of Israel answered,
Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah.
Jehoshaphat said,
The word of the Lord is with him.
So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Elisha said to the king of Israel,
What do we have to do with each other? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother.
No,
the king of Israel answered,
because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to hand us over to Moab.
Elisha said,
As surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you or even notice you. But now bring me a harpist.
While the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said,
This is what the Lord says. Make this valley full of ditches, for this is what the Lord says. You will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also hand Moab over to you. You will overthrow every fortified city and every major town. You will cut down every good tree, stop up all the springs, and ruin every good field with stones.
The next morning, about the time for offering the sacrifice, there it was, water flowing from the direction of Edom, and the land was filled with water. Now all the Moabites had heard that the kings had come to fight against them. So every man, young and old, who could bear arms was called up and stationed on the border. When they got up early in the morning, the sun was shining on the water. To the Moabites across the way, the water looked red, like blood.
That's blood,
they said.
Those kings must have fought and slaughtered each other. Now to the plunder, Moab.
But when the Moabites came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and fought them until they fled. And the Israelites invaded the land and slaughtered the Moabites. They destroyed the towns, and each man threw a stone on every good field until it was covered. They stopped up all the springs and cut down every good tree. Only Kir Hareseth was left with its stones in place. But men armed with slings surrounded it and attacked it as well. When the king of Moab saw that the battle had gone against him, he took with him 700 swordsmen to break through to the king of Edom, but they failed. Then he took his firstborn son, who was to succeed him as king, and offered him as a sacrifice on the city wall. The fury against Israel was great. They withdrew and returned to their own land. Chapter 4. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha,
Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves.
Elisha replied to her,
How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?
Your servant has nothing there at all,
she said.
Except a little oil,
Elisha said.
Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side.
She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son,
"Bring me another one."
But he replied,
"There is not a jar left."
Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said,
"Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left."
One day, Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband,
"I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us."
One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi,
"Call the Shunammite."
So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him,
"Tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?"
She replied,
"I have a home among my own people."
"What can be done for her?"
Elisha asked. Gehazi said,
"Well, she has no son and her husband is old."
Then Elisha said,
"Call her."
So he called her, and she stood in the doorway.
"About this time next year,"
Elisha said,
"you will hold a son in your arms."
"No, my lord,"
she objected.
"Don't mislead your servant, O man of God."
But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers.
"My head! My head!"
he said to his father. His father told the servant,
"Carry him to his mother."
After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said,
"Please, send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return."
"Why go to him today?"
he asked.
"It's not the new moon or the Sabbath."
"It's all right,"
she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant,
"Lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you."
So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi,
"Look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'"
"Everything is all right,"
she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said,
"Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why."
"Did I ask you for a son, my lord?"
she said.
"Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes?"
Elisha said to Gehazi,
"Tuck your cloak into your belt. Take my staff in your hand and run. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face."
But the child's mother said,
"As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you."
So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him,
"The boy has not awakened."
When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out upon him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out upon him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said,
"Call the Shunammite."
And he did. When she came, he said,
"Take your son."
She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in that region. While the company of the prophets was meeting with him, he said to his servant,
"Put on the large pot and cook some stew for these men."
One of them went out into the fields to gather herbs and found a wild vine. He gathered some of its gourds and filled the fold of his cloak. When he returned, he cut them up into the pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. The stew was poured out for the men, but as they began to eat it, they cried out,
"O man of God, there is death in the pot!"
And they could not eat it. Elisha said,
Get some flour.
He put it into the pot and said,
serve it to the people to eat.
And there was nothing harmful in the pot. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain.
Give it to the people to eat,
Elijah said.
How can I set this before 100 men?
His servant asked. But Elisha answered,
give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says, they will eat and have some left over.
Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord.
Chapter 5. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now, there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him,
do you want to get well?
Sir,
the invalid replied,
I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me.
Then Jesus said to him,
get up, pick up your mat, and walk.
At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed,
it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat.
But he replied,
the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk.
So they asked him,
who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?
The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him,
see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you.
The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them,
my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working.
For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer,
I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me.